Mm-hmm. Continuing now with the harmful effects of an attitude of levity and contempt and ridicule, that the person who refuses to take life as a serious business will not give his actions the necessary deliberation. This tira you will see kishia lotzen v'hashkososin hava, the destructiveness and severity of ridicule is great. Ki kimoi hamogid ha-meshuach b'shemen, like a shield that is greased, asher yashmit v'yabla me'ala v'achitza v'mashlicham lo'atz, which will cause the arrows to slide off. That's what they used to do. They used to grease their shields so arrows would slide off it. He says that is the to prevent them from reaching the person's body. That is how effective ridicule is toward discipline, toward rebuke, toward being chastised. With just one word of ridicule or belittling something, a person can reject an entire structure of chastisement and rebuke and teaching. It's someone has said, Kivei apam hongu ish. Yaakov said about Shimon and Levi that with their anger they were ready to kill a person. The word af, in order to mean, in addition to meaning anger, also means a nose. He says kivei apam hongu ish. You can sometimes kill a person just with a twist of the nose. Right? It's just an attitude. Yeah. You wrinkle up your nose. Somebody says something and you dismiss it. Now you can do this to a person. You know, if somebody talks about a person, all you got to do, you don't have to say a word, right? But you wrinkle your nose in a fashion where you're degrading him. That's the same kind of thing. A twist of the nose, somebody can give a whole convincing lecture on something, and another person will say, and just with that one remark, he destroys the effect of the entire thing. So he says, this is the potency of litzonus, of ridicule and belittling something, that with just one word, and even not one word, but just with one gesture, one can dismiss an entire body of teaching and discipline. Mashalev misero mispoil beyatzmoy. Whereas a person's heart could be aroused and stimulated when one sees or hears the kinds of things that would bring one to an awareness of the need of calculating one's behavior and deliberating over one's actions and searching through one's doings to see what they what their character is like. Ubekoyach haleitzonus, and with the power of ridicule, yapil hakel oretz, he can throw everything down, v'layasa v'roshim kol, and it will not make any impact on him at all. Elam ipnei koyach halotzon, this is because of the power of ridicule, Ahoyres kol inyone hamusa vayira, that just totally obliterates all items of all topics of ethics and fear of Hashem. V'hine anovi Yeshaya yitzavei al darki kuchya. This is what the prophet Isaiah screamed about. Yehoyeroye shezehoye mashalahoye meniach mokam l'techosav. He saw that all of his teachings and all of his reprimands that he was conveying from Hashem to the people were not having any effect. Shiyasu Roshem Vayema'abit Ikvosim Shalachatoim, and which would not give any hope to sinful people, that all of these powerful reprimands that he was saying were rendered totally worthless. V'umashe Omer, when he said, Ve'ata al tisloitzitzu, and now he says, do not engage in ridicule and in levity, because otherwise your bonds to sin will be strengthened. Kvar gozu oimer chachomim zechonim v'ocher, the chachomim say, our sages say, shehaleitz mevi hayisurin olav, that someone who is contemptuous brings upon himself great suffering. V'mashe kosov atzmoi mevoa v'ferush, as Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, nachoinu Leleitzim Shvotim. Harsh judgments are in store for one who behaves with ridicule. Why? Because another person who does not behave with ridicule can be corrected with proper discipline, with proper teaching. But a Leitz who dismisses everything as being trivia and will not pay attention to it, Kizehu Dovashadi Noise Noise, then it follows that someone who can learn to correct his behavior as a result of meditating and thinking or learning about it in its does not have to be punished in order to come to an awareness. Because he can repent and correct his actions as a result of thoughts of tshuva that will come into his heart as a result of the fact that he will hear what people teach him. Achaleitzim, but scoffers, she'enam isbalim in atechochas v'mnekoyach letzinusam, scoffers who are not moved by any teachings as a result of their attitude of ridicule and scorn, ein lahem tikkun, the only way they're ever going to get anywhere, El Hashvotim, is only by harsh judgments which will affect them in such a way this is something that they will not be able to dismiss lightly the way they do verbal teachings. And this is something that we see in the alcoholic and the addict. You can talk yourself blue in the face and they will not hear you. Dismiss everything that you're talking about. And the only thing that will finally get them is a rock bottom experience, when they begin to experience the suffering that their addiction causes, and when the suffering of the addiction exceeds the effects, the desirable effects that they're getting from their chemical, that's when they'll make the turnaround. Nothing else will change it. And this is, of course, why you cannot, if you want a person, an addict, to recover, you cannot take away the harmful consequences that he brings on himself. Because if you do so in, quote, kindness, you're simply perpetuating the addictive process. According to the severity of the sin and its consequences, commensurate with that, Hashem made the true judge, made the punishment commensurate with the offense. This is why the Chachamim say, scorn and ridicule is extremely severe. Shetchilosa Yisurin begins with, the consequences begin with suffering, the soifa kloya, and it ends up with total destruction. Shenema, as the Yeshaya said in the phrase we've quoted earlier, where he said, avoid scorn and ridicule, penyechzeku meisrechem, lest your bonds be strengthened, kicholov and echrotza shemati, because I know that this will, that contempt and scorn will bring only total destruction. So this then is an attitude of looking at one's life as not having meaning, as not having consequence, as not being a serious affair, and thereby dismissing anything as being unimportant with an attitude of ridicule, that, he says, is one of the most severe deterrents from the positive trait that we talked about being watchful and deliberate about one's actions. V'amafsid ha-shlishi, the third thing that will deter a person from taking an account of one's behavior and giving it serious consideration, hu ha-chevra, that is the companionship. Dahainu, meaning chevras ha-tipshim v'ha-choytim. If one associates with fools or with sinful people, then he will be misled to behave the way they do, and he will not give his behavior the thought, the consideration it needs. Huma shekosum, Oimer, as the Pesuk says, V'roye ksilim yerua, a friend of somebody who associates with fools, he himself will be destroyed. Ki ne anachnu royim pamim rabois, we see many times, even if a person does believe in the goal that his life should have and the obligations that he have in the service of Hashem, and even if he comes to that conclusion, it may be yisrapa mimeno, that he will be weak in performing it, or yavar aleiz d'dvon mena, or avoid or transgress some things, kidei shele yilago olav chaveiv, so that his friends should not mock him, or kidei lisorav emoim, or because he wants to be part of them, and his behavior, his proper behavior according to Torah, will interfere with his companionship. V'huma sheshleimah mazav oimel, and this is why Shlomo HaMelech says, v'mshoinim al tisorav, do not mix with those who constantly make changes in their lives, going into whatever path their desire leads them to. This is a point which the Rambam stresses. First of all, we find this in Torah, where numerous times Torah says, when you come into the land of Canaan, don't associate with the pagans. They will attract you to their abominable practices. The Torah says, you came from the land of Mitzrayim, don't do like the Mitzrayim. You're coming to the land of Canaan, don't behave like the Canaanites do. Avoid their practices. And it's interesting that he's already said, don't eat forbidden foods, and don't get into forbidden relationships, and don't violate the Shabbos, and don't do this, and don't do that. And there are 365 don'ts. And then he gives another general statement. Don't do like the pagans. Don't do like the non-Jewish neighbors. Now, what does that mean? If it means, well, don't eat what they eat, that's already been restricted. Okay? It means, in general, don't behave like your surrounding neighbors. Have Torah attitudes. Don't imitate them, don't emulate them. And this is something which we find today, I don't know how much we're aware of it, that attitudes that prevail socially are likely to be picked up as though they had value without passing them through. What does Torah say about this? And in the last 40 years, you've seen an enormous amount of social attitudes, and Jews have picked them up without looking at, is this a Jewish attitude or not? What is the Torah attitude to this? And never before has there been a total moral degeneration as there is today. I mean, one cannot walk down the street and avoid seeing something that's morally degenerate unless you walk with your eyes closed. And everything goes. Everything is legal and everything is kosher. So at least to the point, the other day I was listening to the radio on the way to work, and they're talking now about installing metal detectors in schools. so that every youngster that comes to school has to go through a metal detector. I remember when you got on an airplane without a metal detector. All right, so you know, we've accepted it. All right, you got evidence, hijackers, whatever. Now you can't walk into a school without metal detectors because kids are bringing guns to school. And all this somehow has developed, as kosher. That it's accepted. And we've even taken it as a fact of life. Nobody even is shocked by the idea of metal detectors in buildings and in airports and in buildings and now in schools. Isn't that total awesome? The fact that we're not shocked by it indicates that if we're not shocked by it originally and we don't react to it, it becomes acceptable. I mean, we now go through the airport and we don't give a second thought. Yeah, of course, an airport, you have a metal detector. Why? Because humanity is degenerated. Never used to be heard of before. There were flights without metal detectors when I was a kid. The time brings down that when Esau challenged Yaakov's burial in the Moses HaMachpelah in Hebron, when the sons brought Yaakov to burial from Egypt, Esau opposed it and he said, belongs to him. So they said, no, it doesn't. Father purchased the birthright from you. You sold the birthright. He says, yes, I sold the birthright. Now the birthright would have given me a double portion of the inheritance. So I don't have a double portion, but I still have an equal portion, and I have a share in here, and I don't want him buried here. So they said, but Father bought him over some Achpel, and he bought out your share, because he told us he did. He said, where's the document? So they said, the document is in Egypt. He says, well, go get it. So they said, well, who's speedy enough to go get it? Who can go? So they took Naphtali, because the Torah says that Naphtali is like a swift elk, swift deer. So Naphtali left to Mitzrayim to get the document to show to Esau. Chushim, the son of Dan, was deaf. And he did not hear all of these deliberations. So he came and he asked, why isn't grandfather being buried? What's the delay? So someone communicated to him that Esau is protesting, and they had to send to Mitzrayim, they had to send back to Egypt to get the contract that Yaakov has full ownership of the Moses HaMachpelah. So Chushim says, and in the meantime, until he goes and brings the document, grandfather is going to lie in disgrace, not being buried. And so he went over and killed Esau. So Reb Chaim says, where were all the other brothers and grandchildren? Why didn't they react the way Chushim did? And he says, because they had started a discussion. They had started the deliberation. And once they had gotten into it, they was already accustomed. Yeah, even though Yaakov was not being brought to burial, right, they had already lost the shock effect of it because they had started discussing with it. Chushim, who had not heard any of the deliberations when he realized that Yaakov was not being buried, and he heard about this, reacted immediately with a shock. It was an emotional shock, and he did what he did. He said, this is what happens. If you're not shocked by it and you don't react initially, right, a day later it's already commonplace. And he's so right. We go through our environment and we fail to see how much impact the environment has, the horrendous degeneration which has. So what does one do then? Well, look what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, this is in Hilchos Deis, 6th prayer. It says like this, Derech Briyose Shel Adam, the way a person was created, in other words, this is natural for a person, Liyos Nimshech Achareya V'Chaveira, that he is attracted to behave according to his friends and according to his companions. Noye Kiminek Anshem Medinose, a person will behave according to the way the people in his country behave. Lefikach, therefore, tzorich odom liyischaber letzadikim, a person should attach himself to just people, v'leishev etzel chachomim tomid, and also always stay close to the wise, kidei sheyilmed mimaaseihem, that he should learn from their behavior, from their actions. Hu sheshloimeh omer, this is what Shlomo HaMelech says, holech es chachomim yachkom, the one who goes along with the wise becomes wiser, v'roye ksilim yeruah, and the one who befriends fools will end up being destroyed. The Omer and David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ashri Yoish Asher Eloi Holach Basas Reshoim, the very first chapter in Tehillim. Why did David HaMelech choose to open it with that chapter? Right? Fortunate is the person who did not go in the ways of the wicked or sit with the scoffers, right, and associate with people who do not behave properly. The very first verse in Tehillim is on avoiding improper companionship. The Rambam goes on to say, if he is in a country whose customs are and the standards are bad, and people do not behave properly, then he should uproot himself and let him move to a place whose people, whose citizens are righteous and they behave properly. And if all the countries of which he knows or of which he has heard, if they are all noyagim b'derech loytayva, if they are all behaving improperly, as is true of our time, the Rambam says, already then, or if it's impossible for him to move to a decent environment, to a decent country, maybe wars and it's not safe to travel, or maybe he's not well enough to pick up and make the move to another country, then let him sit alone and isolate. Like it says, Yeshev bodod v'yidam, let him isolate himself and keep in silence. V'imho yuroim v'chatoim, and if the environment is such, shein manichem oisei leishev v'mdina elin kenis ha'amom, where he cannot isolate himself because he will be pulled out of isolation and he can't withdraw, v'noyikim in hogam, and people will not allow him to isolate and they draw him into their companionship to live as they do, like their evil practices, then the Rambam says, Yetze lemares v'lechuchem lemidboros, let him retreat into the woods and live in a cave and not live in a community which is degenerate. And, you know, if we observe the Rambam, we'd all pick up and go to the woods and live in a cave and not live in the degenerate society that we're living in now. So Ramchal says this is the companionship with people who behave indecently will deter a person from proper behavior. And so much so that the Imam says pick up and leave. Live in a cave and not among immoral people. And now he says, what about if somebody will tell you, and now somebody will come along and quote the Torah and say, no, you can't isolate yourself, you can't withdraw. After all, the Gemara says that a person should always participate in the community and should always be at peace and associate with other people. Tell him, yes, but that refers to a case when he's dealing with people that behave like humans should behave, but not like people who behave like animals. And that is a kind way of describing our society. Our society does not behave like animals. Animals are not perverse. animals have their predatory desires. When they may kill to eat. That's their nature, right? But when they fill their stomachs, they lay down and go to sleep. They have sexual lusts, and after they have fulfilled their sexual drive, they do nothing. Right? Only in this culture has stuffing one's stomach and acting out sexually become a major business. Right? And this is, and all kinds of sexual perversions that animals have never even conceptualized have become acceptable as lifestyles that a person may do as long as it is consenting adults. And this, our culture says, is kosher, and unwittingly, those kinds of attitudes impact upon us that we no longer see this as being despicable. And so the Rambam was very right in saying, living in a culture like that, you're going to be tainted, and it's going to have its impact upon you, and the only way to get to protect yourself is to get away from it. So we are not keeping what the Rambam is doing by continuing to live in a culture which has become so degenerate and so immoral that a youngster cannot go into school without passing a metal detector, and where safe sex is being promulgated and sanctioned by the highest legal and ethical authorities and who are considered the cultural leaders of the country. And this is the culture in which we live. The Rambam is talking about Bizmanenu, that in our times things are bad. To be continued. We're continuing the discussion of the third factor that detracts a person from watchfulness and sincere meditation and consideration of one's actions, and that is keeping company with people who do not behave properly, or in other words, living in a immoral environment. And he now quotes the first chapter in Tehillim, in Psalms, the David HaMelech Omer, where King David says, Ashrei ho'ish asher lo halach batzas l'shoim. Fortunate is the person who did not go in the ways of the wicked, who did not walk in the ways of the wicked, uv'derech ha'toim lo omad, and did not stand in the ways of the sinful, uv'moshav leitzim lo yoshav, and did not sit with those who mock and scorn the serious aspects of life. And so there are three phases to this. He did not walk with them, he did not stand with them, and he did not sit around with them. So the Talmud says the reason these three phases are mentioned is because they are progressive steps in being absorbed into the influence of one's environment. He says, Imhalach, if you walk with them and you think, well, big deal, I'm not really going to be influenced by them. He says, that's not the way it's going to work. If you begin to associate with them, Soifai Lamud, sooner or later you're going to make greater contact and stand with them and have a more permanent contact with them. And furthermore, Vimoma, then once you get to the stage where you stand with them, Soifaleshev, you're going to have a permanent relationship with them. And he says that one must avoid contact with people who behave improperly because even minimum contact will lead to being influenced by them. The Omer, David HaMelech also says, Lo yashavti misei shav, I did not keep the company of people who are false. Sonesi kahal mareim, I despised a congregation of people who are wicked. Ein leila odam ela lihitoir linokes be'atzmoi, a person must then purify and cleanse oneself, v'limnoya raglav midarkei ha'amoin, and to avoid being with the type of people, hashkuim b'havle azman, who are sunk in the worthless practices of the time, of sitting around in the bars and nightclubs and behaving worthless, killing their time in worthless fashions. Is to avoid them, and the Yashiv Raglov El Chatzres Hashem, and instead to direct his feet to walk to the courtyard of Hashem, the Mishkanosav, and to his dwelling places, to be with the wise people, with scholars of Tayan Tzadikim. Hu should David Atzma Messiah Vaimer, and David HaMelech then concludes, Erchatz b'nikoyen kavi, I will wash my hands in cleanliness, v'aseiv mizbachach Hashem, and I will surround the altar of Hashem, meaning I will avoid harmful influences, and by avoiding harmful influences I can then bring myself close to the worship of Hashem. V'im yer aloi, and if it does happen, she'imotze b'chevras mishi yilagalov, that a person happens to be in a group of people who will mock him and ridicule him for his behavior. Lo yoshis libo el alagahu, he should pay no attention whatever to their comments. Adarabe, to the contrary, yilag al maligim, let him ridicule those who ridicule him, vivazim, and he can, he's permitted to insult them. There are various stories of how the Torah greats used to respond to people who ridiculed them. Tell the story of one of the tzaddikim of the last generation who was traveling in a train, and he was dressed in the traditional garb of with the wide black hat and the long frock, whatever. And in the same coach, there were several young people who represented the Enlightenment, and these were the people who felt that they had seen the light, and they were going to rid themselves of all of these obsolete practices. And so they came up to him and sat at the, as it was, to poke fun at him as to why he still keeps these ancient practices and he doesn't come along with modern times, and it's time to cast away these obsolete ancient beliefs and come along with modern thinking. So he said to them, I think you've got it a little wrong. You say that you are the modern ones and I am the ancient ones. He says, do you say the Haggadah on Pesach? They said, well, yes. He says, well, the Haggadah says, Mitchila, originally, our ancestors were pagans, were non-believers. The Achshav, and now, Kevon HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Avodosa, Hashem brought us close to His service. Right? So the ancient phase is the phase of throwing off the worship of Hashem and Torah. Right? The Achshav, and now, and today, we've accepted Hashem. We've accepted Torah. Right? So he says, it's just the other way around the way you're saying it. The ancient practice is the pagan practice, like you're doing. Right? Torah is the modern thing. That's the end thing. So you've got it reversed. You're the ones who are obsolete. I'm the modern one. So it is permissible to, if somebody ridicules you for living a life of Torah, it is permissible to return the ridicule. V'yachshav b'daita, let a person think. Suppose that he had the opportunity to make a great deal of money. And someone was saying, oh, come on, what you're doing is absolutely foolish. And he knows that what he's doing is going to give him a great profit. How much attention is he going to pay to those people who are making fun of him? Is that just going to be, you know, forget it, I know what I'm doing. He says, Koshkin, if a person would withstand the taunting of others, if he knew that what he was doing is going to bring him monetary gain, Koshkin certainly shall yield sala abed mishmosa nitnilag. Certainly a person should not be embarrassed and because of others who make fun of him and risk losing his neshama because of ridicule from people who don't believe as he do. And this is why the Chachomim have said, there are times when you must be bold as a leopard to do the will of your Heavenly Father. So although being humble and not returning an insult is considered a laudable trait, that is when it is a personal insult. If someone attacks you, then the Gemara says a person should learn how to keep his silence and not necessarily respond to anyone who makes negative comments about him. He says, but that is only when it's a personal thing. But if somebody you because of your observance of the mitzvahs, says you have every right to return the comments and point out to the other person how mistaken he is. And at that point, one should be bold rather than shy. The David says, the Melech says in Tehillim, I will speak of your laws. I will speak of Torah before kings, and I will not be ashamed or embarrassed. Meaning, when kings get together, the kinds of things they talk about are not the kinds of things that David HaMelech wanted to talk about. And the kinds of things that kings would get together in those days would talk about would probably be their enormous wealth and their power and their dominion and their harems and whatever else. And David HaMelech says, that's not what I do. When I come to Melechim, I talk about ethics, I talk about morals, and if they laugh at me, they laugh at me. But I say what I'm supposed to. She'afal pi she'rov ha'melochim, even though most of the monarchs, iskam v'diburam, their preoccupation and their conversation is v'divri g'doylos v'adnois, to talk about their grandiose possessions and the many physical pleasures they indulge in, the David she'hoye gam kein melech, and David who was also a king like them, would seem to be embarrassing and beyosim mechavrosim if he was with that. Yehu medavav divrei musav is Torah, that he would talk about ethics and Torah. Tachasapro min agdolus mitanugis bnei adam kamayim, instead of sharing and with them and joining in their conversation and telling about his grandiose achievements. Hine lahaya chosh lozak called. David Melech paid no attention to this. Lahaya liben nifta b'havolim ma'elan. He was not seduced by these worthless vanities. Achrei shekor hisik emes, once that he was in possession of the truth. Elam aforesh v'emah, he specifically states, v'adabro v'edusecho neged melochim la'elish. I was not ashamed to stand up and speak about your laws, about the proper way to live, in the presence of kings who certainly were not ready to listen to him. The Yeshaya Kemaikin Omer, we also find this in the Novi Yeshaya, who says, Al kein samti ponai kachalomish. I therefore made my face as hard as a flint rock. The edakile evosh, and I knew that I would not be ashamed of preaching the Torah of Hashem, even to people who mocked him. So this is the completion then of the first of the traits, where he had talked about how a person must be watchful and careful about and deliberate about everything that one does, and how a person is to take constant account of his behavior, the kinds of things that he should do, and how to beware of the kinds of things that distract him. Now he goes on to the next trait that he's going to discuss, and that is Midas Hazrizus, the trait of diligence. In translation, here it says the trait of zeal, Z-E-A-L. Zealousness is not quite zealous. Zealousness often carries with it a connotation of fanaticism. And this is not what he's referring to. What he's referring to is being energetic and diligent, and the opposite of being lazy and indolent. I'd rather think of Jesus as being diligent. After the trait of watchfulness, Yovoi Hazrizus, comes the trait of diligence. Ki Hazrizus, the first trait that we talked about, of watchfulness, Soivev, is concerned with Al Haloisesa, to the kinds of precautions we should take to avoid transgressing the negative prohibitions. The Hazrizus and diligence refers to Al Ha'aseh, as to the kind of attitude we should take toward the positive things we are commanded to do. And the reason that I put the first one first is, Hainu, following Sur Meiro, depart from evil, Va'aseh Toiv, and do good. And since it is therefore logical that one should first avoid wrong and then begin to concentrate on doing good, therefore he placed the Zehirus as the first trait as to how to be watchful of not falling into sin. And now he's going to talk about the kinds of attitudes that one should have on doing the positive mitzvahs. The inyone shel hazrizus mevaya, the character of diligence, is obvious. Shehu ha'akdama lemitzvahs, that is a precursor to doing the mitzvahs, ulahashlomas inyonim, and to achieving them in their completion. We find that the Gemara says, Zrizim, diligent people, makdimin the mitzvahs, advance themselves to do mitzvahs. In other words, seize the first opportunity to do mitzvahs and do not procrastinate. Bizar, the reason for this is, ki kemosh yitzorich pikchus godel, just as it requires a great deal of intelligence and the sharpness of the mind, v'hashgofa rabba, and a very close consideration, lihinotzel memoikshe hayetza, in order to escape from the traps of the evil inclination, ulihimolek min hara, and to escape from evil, shalayishlat banu lihisach b'maseinu, that the evil inclination should not have any mastery over us and determine our behavior, just as it requires a great deal of effort and keenness of the mind in order to protect oneself from being seduced by evil. Kein tzorech pikvus gadol v'hashgofa, it also needs a great deal, requires a great deal of intelligence and keenness, v'hashgofa, and foresight, lechos ba mitzvos, to take hold of mitzvos, for lizkos bahem, to acquire them, the loisavadlum imenu, so that they should not be lost. Ki kemoishe misavavu mishtabal hayetzah hora betach beloisov. Just as the yetzah hora is cunning and uses various stratagems, lahapilas odem b'machmeiras achet, to throw a person into the nets, into the traps of sin, kein mishtadal limnoya mimenu asiyas hamitzvahs ul'abdu mimenu. Similarly, the yetzah hora uses the same wily tactics, the same cunningness to prevent a person from doing avedas, to prevent a person from doing mitzvahs. Vim yisrapa v'yisatzel, if a person overlooks this and is lazy in pursuit of mitzvahs, v'lo yischazik lirdof achreihem v'lismechbam, and does not strengthen his efforts to pursue mitzvahs and to hold on to them, yishoer noor v'reik mehem bevata, he will certainly remain empty of mitzvahs. And the point that he makes here is that the Yetzer Hara has only one goal, and that is to use whatever stratagems are available, whatever will work, to keep a person from doing mitzvahs. This is why Rabbi Aaron Kalino said that nowhere in the Torah does it list dejection and sadness as being an avera. The Torah doesn't say anywhere that being dejected and being in a depressed mood is sinful. He says, but there is nothing that can cause a person to be deviant from Torah as being dejected and sad. When one gets into a mood of depression and sadness, one loses the energy to do things. One looks at everything as being futile, and one doesn't pay attention to properly davening. One cannot have concentration in Torah. One doesn't have the desire to do what he should be doing, and one just sulks. And he says, so the Yetzer Hara has his way of accomplishing things. And in fact, he says, the Yetzer Hara can come along and tell you, look how bad a person you've been. Look what kind of avedas you've done. Look how you must do tshuva on all of your avedas. And he says, you might think, oh, this is the Yetzer Tov talking, right, to tell me to do. He says, you got to be very careful. That same talk can be used by the Yetzer Hara to tell you how terrible a person you are and that you're hopeless, and throw you into such a state of dejection that you'll end up doing nothing. And as long as he paralyzes you, he's got his purpose. So he says it requires a great deal of intelligence and wisdom to avoid the pitfalls of the Yetzer Hara, who may use every trick in his bag in order to stop you from doing this. Procrastination is one of them. I mean, to say, I won't do anything, well, a person who's observant is not going to say, I won't do it. But to say, well, it's not that I'm not going to do it. Of course I'm going to do it. It's just I'm not going to do it now. I'll do a little later. Right? Do a little later. And you keep on procrastinating, and that the Yetzer Hara finds it much easier to achieve other than telling you not to do it at all. And if he gets you to procrastinate it long enough, you know, then he may get you to delay it. And furthermore, as you procrastinate, you'll increase resistance. There's the classic book on alcoholism is entitled I'll Quit Tomorrow. And this is the typical attitude of the alcoholic who doesn't want to give up his drinking. It's not that I'm not going to do it. Of course I realize I've got a problem. Of course I know I should do it. So. And I will. Starting tomorrow, I'm not going to drink anymore. And you know how far that gets. Like going on a diet. Well, you know, today is different, but tomorrow starts the diet. And this way an individual can deceive himself rather than say, well, I'm not going to do it at all, which would be unacceptable. So the Yetzer Hara allows you to deceive yourself by saying, no, you'll do it, of course. Starting tomorrow will be a new day. all kinds of new reasons why. So this is why he says the same degree of watchfulness is necessary to outwit the Yetzer Hara in doing mitzvahs as it is to avoid doing averus. And that's what he refers to as the zrizus, the need for diligence. Anything that we ought to break here, and we'll continue tomorrow.